Well, first off, can we thank Trey for filling in for Mary today? Thank you very much, Trey. And he was, we now know that Trey is very unwise because he agreed to play along with the song we'll be singing after the sermon with me. So anyone who agrees to accompany me is very unwise. We are continuing our series looking at our spiritual gifts, our spiritual DNA from God. We have all been designed by God to have impact and enjoy certain ministry roles. Last week we gave some encouragement to those who have the spiritual DNA for leading. Remember to be a mashed potato stirring servant leader, not a glory hoarder. And last week I shared one of my worries for this sermon series that I've been preparing, you know, for this class that starts today and this series for over a year. So I've been worried about, you know, a letdown after all this buildup. Well, let me share my second worry. My second worry illustrates, though, why we desperately need this sermon series. You will notice over the next, this week and then I think five more, that the vast majority of the stories that I have to share about these spiritual gifts come from either myself or my extended family. And let me tell you what that's not. That's not because me and my extended family have some great amount of holiness. Not at all. The problem is that Presbyterians don't like to talk about the extraordinary things that the Holy Spirit does in them and through them. And so I haven't heard your stories unless you're related to me. Even in my family, though, when I called my mom to double-check a story, she didn't realize that it had been the Holy Spirit working through her until I called and gave her the language to think about what had happened. That's why we need this sermon series in this class, because the Holy Spirit is doing things right under our noses, but we don't have a way of thinking about it. We don't have a way of talking about our experiences, and so our whole church is spiritually poorer because of that. I mean, imagine, you know, if you ever read the book of Acts and there's all these amazing things going on, like Acts chapter 20, Paul is preaching and a young man named Eutychus falls asleep and falls out of a window, hits the road three stories below. Let that be a warning to anyone who would fall asleep in a sermon. Now, obviously, Eutychus is dead. They go out there, you know, he's a goner. But Paul trots down there after he finishes his point in his sermon. Then he embraces him, lifts him to his feet, and the young man is alive again. And verse 12 says, they were not a little comforted. That's the Holy Spirit, right, enabling such an amazing experience. But what if they were too scared to sound foolish? So they just said, oh, wow, Eutychus, he's like the luckiest dude in the world. He must have like landed on some gummy bears or something to survive that fall. They would be spiritually poorer if they had not talked about that experience. And while it's not usually that dramatic, this is what we do every day in the 21st century. We dismiss the inexplicable around us and pretend it doesn't exist. And we are spiritually poorer because of it. Hopefully, though, through this series, or if you come to the class, we will gain some language to discuss what is and what isn't the Holy Spirit showing up to do something in our midst. And if you do have a story that you want to talk through and figure out, was this the Holy Spirit or not, please let me know. We will all be spiritually richer if we get to hear stories that aren't from people with the last name Sandal. And so with that, we move to our second spiritual gift, our second spiritual DNA, and it's everyone's favorite, prophecy. In our Presbyterian setting, I'm going to guess that this is the type of spiritual DNA that people will least want to admit. Because whenever we hear prophecy, we think predicting the future. And sometimes that goes along with prophecy, but that's not what prophecy actually is. So to figure that out, let's check in with one of the best examples of someone with the spiritual DNA for prophecy in the New Testament. Prophets aren't just Old Testament people. Someone with this spiritual DNA for prophecy, one of the best people in the New Testament, is Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, I said that most of the stories would come from myself or my family, and I'm going to fulfill that. Because last week, I actually had a prophecy come to me directly from the mouth of the Lord. Are you ready for a direct word from God? Prophecy came to me this last week. It's a good one. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt triple thy pastor's salary in 2019. Clearly a true prophecy, right? No? Well, that's why Peter says in the letter that we just read, no prophecy came by human will, but men and women moved by the Spirit spoke from God. When you prophesy out of your own will and your own desires, you're just making stuff up. A word of prophecy has to be confirmed by the worshiping community. It has to be resonant with what God has already said through Scripture. That's what Peter means when he says that the prophecy has to be more fully confirmed. No one just gets to say, I heard it from God, you have to do it, trust me. That's not how it works. So if prophecy isn't predicting the future, and it isn't making stuff up that you want other people to do, what is prophecy? Well, Peter, in our text today, talks about it in two different ways. First, he recounts his experience on the mountain. This was when Jesus was transfigured, and he became this figure in dazzling white, and he was joined by Elijah and Moses, the Mount of Transfiguration. He says he was an eyewitness. And we all know what's the job of an eyewitness, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. So prophecy is first and foremost telling the truth as it has been revealed to you through prayer. That's really the crux of the matter. Tell the truth. Tell the whole truth, tell nothing but the truth, and God help you if you mix your own will in there instead. That's why in the class we're actually calling it the spiritual DNA for truth seeking, because that word prophecy has so much baggage with it. Sometimes the truth that you hear through prayer has something to do with today. Sometimes that truth has something to do with what hasn't happened yet. Whatever it is, though, speaking God's truth as revealed through fervent prayer, that's what prophecy is. Peter then says that prophecy comes by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, why does this matter? Well, to illustrate, let me give you some homework. It'd be really useful. I mean, to think about next Thursday, okay? Next Thursday, around 10 a.m., we're going to have a staff gathering then, and I'm trying to come up with sermon series for the fall, what sermon series would be best for the congregation. So I want you to dial up the Holy Spirit and tell me by Thursday at 10 a.m. what the Holy Spirit tells you is the best sermon series for this congregation. Call me up by 9:59 next Thursday. Can you do that? It might be a little hard because we don't get to control the Holy Spirit, right? We can't tell God, I need you to give me the answer to this question by this day and time. I mean, we can try that, but I wouldn't bet on it because God doesn't typically work that way. So prophecy isn't something you control. The Holy Spirit controls it. Prophecy, hearing a word of truth from the Holy Spirit, that's something that God chooses to reveal to you on whatever day and whatever time God chooses to do it. You can't dial up a prophecy like, you know, choosing a screen pass from an NFL playbook. And so if someone needs a word of truth and you always have it on hand, you are guaranteed sometimes to be just making it up. But while you're at it, if you're going to be making up stuff, remember that triple the pastor's salary prophecy. Might as well keep that one going. So the prophet is someone who repeatedly seeks God's truth through fervent prayer. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you a very specific word of truth. Sometimes that truth is something about yourself. Sometimes that truth is about someone else or maybe a ministry or a group. Sometimes it has to do with the whole church. But the prophet isn't a dancing monkey to deliver up God's truth whenever we want it. The prophet must seek God's truth through prayer over and over and over again, or they're probably just making it up. When I was at the Hawaii Leadership Practicum, some of you have heard this story before, we followed the head pastor of the host church around for a week, and we were lucky enough to be there on baptism day. They do baptisms one day a year. And how they do it is they invite anyone who wants to come to a particular beach at a particular time, and they have all their pastors out in the water, in the Pacific, and you come up and you talk to the pastor, and then they baptize you. And there were lines of people this day. We were actually invited to go be some of the baptizers, but I thought that was a little strange since I'd never met any of these people before and would never see them again. So I just kind of went out there to observe and stood next to one of the pastors that I'd gotten to know over the course of the week. Very nice, down-to-earth guy, but something was different about him today. And I eventually discovered it was because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him today. So the first guy comes up, and this pastor says, "God's telling me you're struggling with alcohol, is that right?" And the shocked guy, goes pale and nods in the affirmative. And then he says, "Well, when you get baptized, you're a child of God. God's not going to reject you because of your struggle with alcohol, but he wants you to live a better life starting today, all right?" The guy who's now, so pale he's translucent just goes like that, and then he's baptized, and the next one comes up. But over and over and over again, not for everyone, he probably would have just been making stuff up if it was everyone, but quite a few times as he went through that line of people baptizing them, he heard a word from the Lord to share, and he never missed once. In that week that I had spent with him, he never did anything like that any other day. It was something special on this baptism day. That was the Holy Spirit showing up to give him truth for these people's lives, to help them live better lives. That was prophecy. Now, I personally have what I call the three strikes rule for the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Spirit tells me something to do or to say, I can decline it twice, but I can't decline it three times. This, by the way, is not scriptural whatsoever. You're supposed to do it on the first time, but I'm telling you, that's my struggle, is I have to hear it three times. So if I get that same nudge three times, I have to do it no matter what. One time at my previous church, we were at the viewing for a high school student who had died. And as I was going through the line for the viewing, I three times got this nudge to go tell one specific dad in the grieving family a very specific word. And so on the third time, even though it was kind of awkward, I got out of the viewing line, went over, tapped him on the shoulder, and told him, "So sorry for your loss, but I keep getting this phrase from the Holy Spirit, so I just want to pass it along. Tonight would be a great night for you to take the initiative and be a spiritual leader in your household." That's all I got. Then got back in the line for the viewing. I have no idea what he did with that, but I know that I was supposed to deliver that word of truth to him that exact time. Another time I got those three nudges was one of my former interns. He was about to go off to get his master's, and I called him over and I told him, same thing, got a word from the Holy Spirit for you. You're a leader. You have the spirit, what we would call the spiritual DNA for leading. You're a leader. And leaders lead. Leaders go crazy when they don't have a chance to lead. So as you start your career after college, remember to give yourself chances to lead, not just do your job. Maybe that's in your church, maybe that's in your work, or maybe something else. I don't know what that is, but make sure you have a chance to lead because you're a leader. And leaders lead. And actually, several years later, he called me up and told me that he had followed that advice and thanked me for giving him that word of truth. That was a word of prophecy, a word of truth that the Spirit wanted to pass along to him through me. Or, if you want to rewind to late last year, I had a sermon where I shared that I thought 2018 would be the year we would see some growth in our church, and that if we were faithful, that 2019 might be even bigger. That wasn't based on any plan. That's just a spiritual sense. And in that sermon, I said, "I know you're tired, but give me 2 years, and then we'll have enough new people they can take the reins. But don't go to your church retirement yet. That was like October or November. And over the first quarter of the year, that has been happening. That potential that I sensed in October or November, that's actually happening now. And so that sense wasn't some, I can predict the future. It was just a confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Those are all examples of a truth revealed from the Holy Spirit. Each week in this series, I'm going to share some specific encouragement to the people who have that spiritual gift or that spiritual DNA. And so if you feel like you're the kind of person who is frequently speaking the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, you might have the spiritual DNA for prophecy or truth-seeking, if that's easier to think about. And so this part's for you. First, remember that the key to seeking the truth is that you need to seek the truth. Nice tautology, right? How do you seek God's truth, though? Through fervent prayer. If you have the spiritual DNA for prophecy, you had better be checking in with God all the time in prayer and make sure you're getting a clear signal. You got to be like the prayer equivalent of the Verizon guy. God, can I hear you now? Good. Second, well, let me illustrate my point with a few quotes from the late great comedian George Carlin. I'm always relieved when someone is delivering a eulogy and I realize that I'm listening to it. Or, I think it would be interesting if old people got anti-Alzheimer's disease, where they slowly began to recover other people's lost memories. Or how about what Carlin took a shot at my home state? You know the good part about all those executions in Texas? Fewer Texans. As a side note, it took me a long time to find church shareable quotes from George Carlin. But what's my point in sharing these with you? My point is that laughing allows us to have discussions we wouldn't otherwise have. Stand-up comics, this is what they do. They push the uncomfortable button while also making us laugh. Otherwise, we wouldn't want to talk about aging or death or capital punishment, to use those George Carlin quotes. No one would go to hear someone just lecture on that. Not as many people would, but if it's funny, they'll listen. If you have the spiritual DNA for prophecy, help your team laugh together as much as possible, because the team that laughs together can hear the truth together as well. My final encouragement, if you have this gift for truth seeking, is that sometimes your role is to remind the team that when our God is for us, who can stand against us? We might be limited in our abilities. We're limited in the number of volunteers we have. We're limited in our time. We're limited in our resources. We are limited in our vision and our ability to follow through. We worship a God who isn't limited. In fact, Jesus said it's better for us that he ascended into heaven, because then the Holy Spirit would be with us to do miraculous things, greater things than he ever did. That's what Jesus told us. And so if you have this spiritual DNA for truth-seeking, one of your other roles is to make sure the team doesn't settle for our human abilities. Help them remember that with the Holy Spirit on our side, the impossible is within reach. Don't let your team settle for their mere human abilities. Sisters and brothers, the spiritual gift or the spiritual DNA for prophecy is all about seeking and communicating God's truth through fervent prayer. That's all it is. If you get that result on your spiritual gift assessment, don't think about predicting the future. That's not what it is. Instead, think about praying for God to show you what he is seeing about this situation. Or what are you seeing about this ministry I'm involved in? Then help your team laugh together. Help your team hear God's truth together. And help your team dream impossible dreams together. That's what it means to have the gift of prophecy or truth-seeking today. And I am excited to see what the Holy Spirit will do when we tap into that spiritual DNA in our church. Amen.